In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. I missed you guys last week. How was it? You had a good time? Did you learn something new? I'm sure you did. Alright. We finish now the church history just for now. And we're going to continue. And we're going to continue something that you will love to learn about. But as we said before, we give you just the flavors. So we're not going deep in it. You're going to be on your own if you would like to read more. Today we're going to start the Apostolic Fathers. And we call it... It's done. We call it the Patristics. What does the word pater mean?
Father.
Chapter. You can read. I know that. That's my problem. I did not do it in a good way to hide the answers. I know.
Oh, Peter.
The word Peter came from a Latin word. It means a father. How do you know the definition of a father? What do you mean by a father? Your own meaning.
Baba.
Baba. Meshi. What does Baba mean?
Dominant.
Meshi. Why you call him dad or father? How can you title this person as a dad or a father? Why we call this fellow the Apostolic Father? Authority of you, Mesh. What else? What else do you think about the word father?
الأستاذ.
لا لا خلينا بقى سيري شوي. الأستاذ. Mesh. What do you mean by that? And I had a deep meaning found some serious شوي.
جامد.
جامد. Not. You don't have to be a جامد عشان تبقى be a father يعني.
Shepherd.
Mesh. What else? What else I can say that's my father? Why I call Abuna father? Takes good care of you. What else?
He's in charge of like all the...
كل حاجة تتكلم عبارة عن charge authority أنا حاجة مو deep غير charge authority طلعني حاجة حلوة كده yes dad responsible حاجة تانية يا أولاد the father always care to teach his kids or his sons or his daughters everything in you always wanna let you be the best right we call it the apostolic era because they learn everything from the apostles and from the disciples who learned their stuff from who from whom they learned the apostles from the Lord Jesus Christ himself we call it it's a study for life acts writings, doctrines, sayings of our early church fathers. The apostolic era, most of the people agreed it's going to stop by the 8th century or by the middle of the 7th century. That's why I'm calling those people before the 8th century are the fathers of the church. The first writer of any patrology is Saint Jerome, and he wrote a wonderful book called The Life of Famous Men. So the word of patrology came from a word pater, and pater means a father, and fathers are the people who are taking good care of the church by their doctrine, their writing, their songs, their sermons, all these things. We have four pillars of our faith. Does anyone know what are our four pillars of our Orthodox Church faith? Well, first, the Holy Bible, number one. What else?
The teachings of the Fathers.
The teachings of the Fathers, the apostolic era of the Fathers. One, two more. Monks and goes with the apostolic era of the fathers. Because when you learn about the fathers, it's the apostolic fathers, and you're going to learn more in the next week and more in the third week. This is called what? It's not written in the Bible, so I call it what? The tradition, which we get from the apostolic fathers. Don't you read the Bible and the Bible said not everything is written in this Holy Bible. It will take forever and many books to write. The ecumenical councils. the ecumenical councils we have. And the fourth one are the sacraments and all the other things that the church established for us to learn.
There's a button on the bottom where you can...
No, I want to do something different.
Oh.
That's the word.
What's the fourth one?
The first one is the Holy Bible. The second one is the Ecumenical Councils. The third one is the tradition and our Apostolic Fathers' teachings. The fourth one is the sacraments and the books and everything we have. These are the four pillars of our Orthodox faith. To be qualified to be called an apostolic father, you have to be with those four requirements to be called an apostolic father. Number one, you must have dialogues or letters or sermons or any commentary on the books of the scriptures. These are very important, and you will know why we put this as number one in the qualification to become a father or an apostolic father. You have to have an orthodoxy doctrine. Your doctrine must be an orthodox one. You cannot change what you are saying and then we take you as our apostolic father. You have to have a holiness of life. All the people we're going to talk about today, their life is very holy on earth. They dedicated their life to the Lord for real. Number four, what's number four? Antiquity means before a certain time we sat in the church, we're going to stop at the beginning of the 8th century to be called an apostolic father. So four qualifications for the word apostolic father, and that can be on a quiz. Yes, Jeff.
As time goes by, it's always before the 8th century. Like if 100 years passes, they still consider the fathers before the 8th century.
You're going to find the answer next. It's coming up.
I went online and I went on the tape, and you can't hear it at all.
Maybe if you can stop
the tape. No, like you can't hear it. No, it's not that you can't hear it over the other
tape. But it's a certain time and stops before the 8th century. Anyone called a Catholic father, if they are qualified before the 8th century and they are located with all three other requirements. Right. There is categories of the father. Number one, we call it apostolic father. And those are the disciples of the apostles and the other disciples around the time of the Lord Jesus Christ. So they took their knowledge from the apostles and from the disciples themselves. We have many people, and we're going to just choose those ones now. Saint Clement of Rome, Saint Ignatius, Saint Polycarp, and Saint, what's the fourth one? Papias. Those are wonderful people, Ya Habay. Wonderful. If you know about them and you read their life history or their holiness of life, you will learn a lot. Because I learned it from this lesson, I read almost all their lives. If you have time, I'll give you stuff about them, but I'm not going to go deep down. If you need to learn more, I can guide you how to get more information. Number two, we call them defenders. Defenders they defended the Christianity against what? No.
Idolatry.
Not now. No. Defender.
Idolatry.
Idolatry and some Jews around that time when they tried to stop the Christianity. Remember, you're talking about from the 1st century to the 8th century. We have Saint Athenodor and Saint Aurelius falling in that category. Number three are world teachers. They teach stuff and their doctrine or their writer things, the things they wrote, went all over the world, including St. Athanasius, St. Basil the Great, St. Cyril, St. Gregory, St. Jerome, St. Yes.
I thought St. Basil was really considered a defender of faith.
Yes, but at the same time, still in world teacher. Because remember, when he wrote the Creed is all over. Everybody, even the Catholic Church, until this moment, they used the same creed, he used it, but they created a second creed to match what they want to add and take off. That's why they call it wordless teacher, because his teaching is accepted all over the world. Yes, but I made him fall in this more, because this is, yes.
Was he also a part of Nassau's family?
Yeah. You will see.
Okay. Different.
It is different because you're going to divide them into different categories in the apostolic era. Yes, we are. No, in the West. You're going to see that. There is difference in East and West. No, one St. Augustine, but actually she meant not from like Egypt, not from the East Coast side. He was different. You will learn about that later. Number four, we call them confessors.
Yes.
What does a confessor mean?
Thank you.
But he's not considered as a martyr. He did not shed blood. He confessed the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He defended Christianity without shedding blood. So that's a big difference.
Confessions of people get beat up or they kill.
Exactly. Do not shed blood. Did not cut their head or.
Well, they're not martyrs.
They're not martyrs, exactly.
That's why they're confessors.
That's why we have monastic fathers. Those are the fathers who established. And you heard about this last week, right? Last week we spoke about that, correct?
Yes.
You have St. Baphomius. You have St. Macarius the Great. You have St. Shenouda. St. Anthony. You have to understand during this era from the apostles till the 8th century, you have many doctors, but you have to like categorize the fathers. Meshia Chris?
Yes.
We also classifying this according to four things. Number one, the time. Number two, the language. Number three, the place. Number four, the material. You're going to hear about each single one. So four things to classifying the writing. By time, by language, place, and material. Each one is very important because when you use this classification, you will be able to understand who is that person I'm talking about. Yeah. I'm very sorry.
What's
You're okay, Michael? It's okay now, right? Let's get first item, which is the time. There is three times for the classification. Anti-Nicene, during the Nicene Council, and post-Nicene Father. Three things are very important. The anti-Nicenes are the disciples themselves and the apostles who learned from the Lord, and they made disciples. And that goes from the first century to about the third century. During the Nicene time, which we talked about the Council of Nicaea, but not in details, it transits from the 300 AD to about 400 AD. And this is very important because during the Nicene Council till about the 6th century or the middle of 6th century, they call it the Golden Era. And then the post-Nicene, of course, after the Nicene Council, which runs from 430 AD till about the 7th century or beginning of the 8th century, some books saying that. For the dates, you're going to find different books that give you a little bit variation of the date. Some goes to the 7th century, as I said, and some stops to the beginning of the 8th century. For the language, the two... I'm sorry.
You might know that.
For the language, there was two common languages at that time, the Greek and the Latin language. Those are the most famous languages around that time. There was some were using the Coptic, the Syrian, and I'm sorry, I spelled it wrong. Armenian, sorry. Armenian, not Armenian, sorry. We have around the time the East Fathers and Fathers from the West. From the East, they use the Greek language a lot. And that's why we have St. Basil, St. Athanasius, St. Gregory the theologian, St. Cyril the Great, then Dioscorus, St. John Chrysostom, and St. Servius of Antioch. Those are the main fathers from the East, and they use the Greek language. From the West, they were using the Latin language. I'll go back. From the West, they were using mainly the Latin language. St. Jerome, St. Cyprianus, and St. Ambrose. And remember, what we are talking about are Orthodox fathers. Very important to keep in your mind. Those are the saints that kept our Orthodox faith. I'll go back for the last slide, whoever needs that. You have 30 slides about it.
How many slides?
About 30, so.
We got
4. About. I'm going to ask for my All right. For the place. There were a lot of Egyptian fathers, and where do you think they learned when I'm saying Egyptian father, where did they get their knowledge? School of Alexandria or the Library of Alexandria? Very good. I'm glad you guys are on top of stuff. Very good. And also, don't forget, we number five of the fathers were what? We took about five categories of father. Number five was what? Look back to your notes.
Monks.
So they are also the desert fathers. So those are the Egyptian fathers. They learned their stuff from the school of Alexandria and from the desert fathers. Number two is what?
Antiochians,
which means Antakya or The number three are the Latin fathers, which we meant people who were using the Latin language. So we are talking about the Western fathers and the Cappadocian fathers. So these are places. You have to learn how to categorize the father when you study them to know about them. The material. Michael, ما أنت كده كده خفت كويس مش معقول. Okay. The material. The material that they have are very important to us. They have wonderful things that we have been using to keep our faith, and at the same time we use it still till this month. They have biblical writings. Biblical writings, they use it around that time because there was a lot of confusion about the gospel and the Bible. They were helping the newcomers to the Christianity to understand the Bible. That's why we call it biblical writings. Some of them have letters, and you will understand of why I'm saying letters, because some of them were writing letters to some countries or some places they have to help them to fight against heresies or to keep their face straight. Some have liturgical works, and we remember we talked about their saints, including who has liturgical works, what saints you just threw. Saint Basil, exactly. So those were, they wrote in the liturgy, and we are using this liturgy up to this moment. Some have very wonderful work in the church history, like Saint Athanasius. Some people have sermons, and we're still using it until this moment too. Some have wonderful Christian songs and voices, and they were using this around the time to help all the people that call them Gentiles who are entering the Christianity. So these fathers are very important to us. It's not only around that era and that's it, and they finished and we're done with them. No. Why we are studying patrology? Why? That's right, Mike. Why we're studying patrology? Without looking in the slide, try to think by yourself. Why am I studying that? Too late. Here. Why am I studying patrology?
We need to know the church history.
We need to know the church history. What else?
To learn how,
exactly. Around that moment, it was so hard for the people who are entering Christianity. How can I talk to God? How can I speak to Him? How can I understand the Bible? What else? From what we said, God give us brain. Try to use them.
Defend our faith.
That's good. You cannot say I'm Christian and then you go in a discussion with someone in a school, at work. It happens with me a lot. And you know nothing. To keep the faith, that's good.
To spread the faith.
Very good. What else?
To inherit salvation.
And that was one of the things Saint Ignatius faced, and you'll see. All right. They established our true faith, and that's Orthodox faith. They defended our faith, and that's what we call it, dogmatic life. The dogma is very important, and that's why we call them defenders. They wrote liturgy, and that's what we call it, sacramental theology. We call that person, he is sacramental theologist. They guided everyone around that time spiritually, as Dalia said. They wanted to know, how can I talk and communicate with God? How can I understand the Bible? That's called the spiritual theology. They had a big role in our church history, like what you guys said. They helped studying the Bible and corrected things around that early time because of the tradition, because they sit with the apostles and disciples who sit with the Lord Jesus Christ and received a lot of words. And even the Bible said, if we have to tell you everything, it will take million books to fill it. So there is verbal or oral tradition runs from the apostles and disciples to us. They left for us their love and their faith and their books and sermons.
But one of the stuff that's like not written down, changed from like time to time, as people tell it, is going to be different from person to person.
That's why I have a lot of stuff was discovered in papyrus papers, Waraq al-Bardi bil Arabi, and it's kept. Some of them, I'll tell you where they found these things and they kept. And that might be a question on your quiz.
All 7?
No, don't go hard like that. Did you ever find me hard?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
What's the point of
it?
What was number 1?
Number 7? They left us wonderful stuff. If I keep writing sermons, faith, books, liturgy, million things. Faith and books. There is a comma, but way at many, Malish. And it is one of them, Saint Clement of Rome. They are saying he was the apostle of Saint Peter, and at the same time, he is a disciple of Saint Paul. How come he's a disciple of the apostle Peter and disciple of Saint Paul? Right, but because of Saint Clement, converted many people, and he is actually was a Jewish man, a Jewish slave, and he read all the Old Testament. So Saint Peter took him for himself, because you know Peter for the Jews and Paul for the Gentiles. So he was always this converting a lot of Jews, so they inherit him as a disciple of Saint Peter, but he was mainly a disciple of Saint Paul too. He was a Jewish slave around that time. And some people say he was a son of a Jewish slave, owned by family called the Clemens. That's why when he freed him, he took the name of his master, Saint Clemens. If you open the Bible in Philippians chapter 4, verse 3, you will find some Paul mentioning Saint Clement in that verse. When you go home, you have it. Some people think he was the third bishop of Rome. Some books saying he was the fourth bishop of Rome. So don't take me on that. Some people said he died when he was giving the communion. After he took the communion, he died. Many people that agreed he got martyred. He got exiled because he was converting many people, and one of them was a very rich woman, and her husband and her sisters, and around the same time he converted 423 others. So the Rome was not happy with that, and they did exile him, and he got martyred over there. Why we consider him as an apostolic father? Yeah.
He died defending the faith.
No way.
You can learn. You don't have to write this. That's for you. Coming up is for you. He wrote wonderful letters to Corinthians, because around that time, the Corinthians had a big discussion. And they had many rich people coming into the Christianity, and they think they are powerful, and they do not need priests and bishops. So they were against priests and bishops, and they didn't want any priest or a bishop to be in, around in Corinthians. So to defend that, St. Clement of Rome started to write his letters to encourage them not to change our Orthodox faith, because the Lord Jesus Christ, he appointed the apostles to go and preach and baptize the people. And then the apostles cannot be everywhere. So what they did, they made priests and bishops in some places to help them. So if the apostle established this, and some people come and say, oh, we don't need them, we can run the church without them, we don't need a local bishop, we don't need the priests, they're going to drop our faith badly. So he stood up for that, and he started to write many letters to them and to guide them. And he had a wonderful, loving, decent way. Let me give you some examples of what he wrote. And don't forget, he was, as we said, either a Jewish slave or a son of a Jewish slave. So he knew almost all the Old Testament Yekres. So he used a lot from the Old Testament to support his way. Even St. Irenaeus, when he read his epistles, his letter, he wrote, it should be an epistle, and it should be read in the church. And it was read in the church. They were reading these epistles or these letters many times. I think up to 170 A.D., they were reading his letter in the church. Coming up is important. He wrote in his letter many things. He wrote, number one, the need of repentance. Can somebody read what's in between the quotations, please? Michael, can you read that, please, from beginning to end?
Let us look at the blood of Christ and see how precious the blood is to God the Father. Since heaven been shed for our salvation, who set the grace of repentance to the whole world.
This is a small quotation from what he wrote, and it talks about the repentance. It tells the people that God, the Lord, loved you so much. He shed his own blood for you. You have to repent about your sins. You have to change yourself. Number two, he talked about how we should be having confidence in God's words, promises, and gifts. Isaac, can you please read number two?
Yes, promise, therefore, that all his beloved should be comforted and repented. We ask by the Almighty will how blessed and wonderful beloved are the gifts of God.
He tells them, you have wonderful gifts from God. And God always promises, never change. No, God never say a word and change his word. Never. He doesn't change his word. And we should be like that. You say something, you do. Just to pick the highlighted dark in, you don't have to write what's in between the quotation. Unless if you want, it's up to you. He was encouraging everyone to be a witness to God by our behavior. Remember, around the Apostolic Fathers era in the beginning of the first century, all the Apostolic Fathers, their main concern is to establish the community, the church, the unity of the church by our behavior. Because cannot be saying, I'm converting from pagans to Christianity and you still have the same old behavior. That was the thing that they, the main concern, change your behavior. Even the women, they put a dress code for the women. Everybody has to change. You're converting means you leave your old life. and you're starting a brand new beginning life. Can you read the Jeremy, please?
The testimony to our good deeds be performed by us as we make our righteousness.
Number four, he encouraged them to escape from bribe. I love that thing. I just got you a small quotation from it. Can Carolus read it, please?
It's very easy to found small and honorable place in the flock of Christ, driving being highly exalted and being cast off in his people.
Remember, the people of Corinthians around that time, they were rich, and they were saying, we don't need the priests, we don't need bishops, we don't need them, we don't need their authority, we can handle everything on our own. So he insists on that. It's better for you to be found as a small and an honorable place in the flock of Christ than being highly exalted and casted out from his people. He was helping them by offering unceasing thanksgiving to the Lord all the time. He was simply telling them, the Lord give us everything. And every day, and every moment of our life, he was giving. We ought him to give thanks for everything, every time. We need to do that to Habayitim. We'll talk about Saint Ignatius. He was born in Syria. He was martyred at Rome between the 98 AD and 117 AD. Some people saying that Saint Ignatius is the child. If you remember in Mark 9:35, the Lord sat with his disciples. And what did he do? Does anyone remember what happened in Mark 9? He did something. بنشوفها في some pictures. We give it to the kids. There was a lot of people coming and disciples and children. So he sat down, and in the picture we see, he took one child and put him on his lap. And he said, if you don't be like a child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Some people saying Saint Ignatius was that child who sat on the Lord's lap between his arms.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Approved?
Mm-hmm. They said that.
Approved?
Yeah. I don't have the proof, but it says in the book. That's why I say that. When we die, we can meet San Ignatius and ask him. I wasn't there either. San Ignatius was the third bishop of Antioch. Some other books saying he was the fourth bishop of Antioch. So be careful. As I said, the time sometimes is not that precise. So don't take me on these tiny things. Right? بيقول على سان إغناتيوس the what that word? Say of course. What does it mean? What does it mean? Does anyone know? Try to find the meaning of that word. I'm not going to say. He is also the intercessor of the Syrian church. Not now, you might. He is the intercessor of the Syrian church, and the Syrian church is our sister. And you can see that while we are praying. We're praying in the liturgy and saying this. Can somebody read what I wrote in that? From the second line. In our Coptic Orthodox church, in our feast, they are the sister for us because they are one of the Alexia.
Mm-hmm. Orthodox Church in the Faith, non-Chalcedonian Orthodox Churches, and so the Syrian Patriarch, who's
usually... That is, one sec. That is the council we don't agree and we don't accept it. Chris. We don't agree on it and we don't accept it in our faith. Continue.
Who's usually mentioned in the Father's Liturgy in our Divine Liturgy, carries St. Ignatius' name as a part of his title, Mar of Nations, and now he is Mar of Nations, Saka, I am the first.
مش احنا بنقولها في الليترجي when we're praying مارد ناشز ذلك عوز of the Syrian. So these things we're saying in the liturgy are not coming from the sky falling from heaven, it's from our apostolic father's books. He wrote 7 epistles. When he wrote it, he sent it to many places. He wrote it to the church of Ephesus, Rome, Magnesia, Smyrna, Philadelphia, and Polycarp. They had problems, and he was taking on his shoulder to help them by writing things to them to encourage them. What did he write in his epistles? It talks mainly about the Christ the Savior. It talks a lot about the salvation and the importance of salvation to our life. It talks about death, because around that time there was a lot of pagans worship, and they were persecuting the Christianity. So he told them a small phrase: fear of death is a bondage to Satan. He established in his epistles a lot for the church, like the sacraments, the Eucharist, the community, to share a lot, the unity of the church, and many songs that have been used around the time. So all these epistles are very important because they help keeping the faith of our church. He also talked about the sacrament, the baptism. He talked about martyrs and witness to the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten God, Son of God. He talked about the priesthood, because there was a lot about, again, about we don't need priests and deacons and any kind of authority in the church. He was writing things and taking the Bible, the Holy Bible, as its references. It helped unity of the church. And if you remember, during the apostolic era, people were selling their stuff and coming putting the money to the disciples and the apostles' feet, and they share. That's how our church is supposed to be, unity of the church. Not to go against each other. It's very important. Saint Polycarp. Had you seen the name of in the Bible? If you open the book of the Revelation, we'll see if this name is mentioned in it or not. Right? He was born in the 70 AD. He had a Christian family. He got his faith from the apostles. Some people saying he is the disciple of Saint John. He was a bishop of Smyrna when he was 4 years old. Does anyone know how did he die? It was in the Synaxarian, the Synaxar, about what? 3 months ago? How did he die?
Old age,
yeah. Search the books. Right. Search the books. You search the books. You have to find how did he die. About the year 80 AD, he was the disciple of St. John, the evangelist.
So he was 10?
Hmm?
He was 10? He was born like 70 AD and was a disciple.
Yeah, he was his disciple. And at age of 40, St. John made him the bishop.
No, like
before he went to Patmos. Yeah, he was about 10 or 12 years old. They started very early. Yes. Saint Polycarp, بيقولوا عليه برضو, he kissed the cross on Saint Ignatius, the bishop of Antioch, when he was passing by Smyrna on his way for martyr.
So he's not martyr.
I'm sorry?
He's not martyr.
No, Saint Ignatius was passing by Smyrna on his way to get martyred, so Saint Polycarp ran to him and kissed his cross. Saint Polycarp wrote a lot of epistles, and his epistles for the Philippians. There was a big heresy around that time from a person called Marcion, and he was so bad person. And when he confronted Saint Polycarp, and he told him, "Don't you know who am I?" He told him, "Yes, I know. You're the son of Satan." He was never fearing anything, Saint Polycarp. He got martyred on 22 February in 156 AD. But you have to find out how did he die. Was very nice. It was very nice story. You have to read it. You have to read it, ya habib. It's very nice. I'm not going to tell you how. You have to search the book. I'll give you some words, kinda quick, from our apostolic fathers. وبعدين نتكلم على سان بيبيوس. Saint Ignatius said, "I will choose the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to give all that I have to have Him. I want to be as wheat and ground for His feet." Those people really deeply loved the Lord from all their heart. And they give everything to have Saint Fabius. He was a disciple of Saint John the Apostle, and he was a friend of Saint Polycarp at the same time. So he learned a lot from both of them. He wrote books, about 5 books, against heresies, an explanation of the Word of God, the Bible. And he was using a lot of St. Mark and St. Matthew Gospels to support his books against the heresies. I'll give you some other words from other saints. St. Gregory, the theologian. He was ordained as a bishop. When he was ordained, around that time, there was only 17 Christians only in his parish. At the end of his life, before he passed away, before he died, there was only 17 non-Christians left in his parish. I hope we can be also the image of God wherever we go, ya habayib. Not only in the church. I would like the word servant to be as a title during certain time between the hour of Saturday, 5 and 7. That's when I'm coming to the church, I'll be the servant. And after that, don't ask me where I'm going, what I'm doing, what's my behavior, how I speak to my parents, how I speak to my friends, my family. Anything I do is not your business. Your time is only to watch me during Saturday between the hours of 5 and 7. I'm a servant during that. That's fine. I'll be good. I'll dress good. I'll take a shower before I come, hopefully. And that's it. And that's it. You don't have to see what I'm doing after that. Saint John the Chrysostom was an amazing guy. I love him so much. He was saying a couple of things. I got you 2 quotations only from what he said. He said, "The words of deep and pure prayers are like the fire you ignite before God." Sometimes we come to the church during the liturgy. اللي واقفة تلعب في شعرها واللي واقف يبص على مين داخل ومين خارج. What she was, what did she dress up today? The phone.
Text message.
I put it on vibrate and I shook. What is that? What is that? Who texted me? And no one lift up their heart. And
because we have them with the Lord.
Yeah, we have them with the Lord. That's just words. The amazing words. Yeah.
I heard you another month that you're not supposed to say that if you're not really.
You don't have to say. Do you have to tell everyone? Oh, come on! I am saying.
No.
I'm sorry, Miss Anna. You mentioned you should not supposed to say it if you're really not lifting up your heart.
Yeah.
I agree on that. But I meant something different, Tani. You don't have to tell the people. Oh, I was praying so very good today. No, that's a different thing. Yeah. There is another word from St. John the Chrysostom. He said, there is one person, just take one person, only one person, ya habayi, who, when he has a true love to God, can change the whole city to the Lord Jesus Christ. One person. And that person also, there's only one person. By your behavior, by your attitude, by the way you dress up, the way you talk, you can make people hate to be Christians. Hate to enter the church again. There's many people coming to the church and leaving it because of one person was having bad behavior toward them. So watch out what you are saying, ya habayib, and what you are doing. Because at the end of the time, you might be given an account on that person that you did not be able to win him Christ. I'm sorry. Took so long. I am very sorry. خليكم زي ما انتوا قاعدين بقى كده. عشان تاخدوا كويز. The quiz.